welcome to the Gelling Pod with me, Dave Gelling Pod. And I know I always say I'm excited about this week's special guest, but look who I've got, Naomi Wolf. I'm not used to this restream system, and it looks like I'm looking down. Why is it? Anyway, I've got Naomi Wolf, and I'm really pleased. Naomi, do you sort of know who I am this time? I got the vibe last time we talked that you were thinking, who is this crazy guy? Is he onside or not? I'm not sure whether I trust him or not. Presumably now you realize I'm like,
I didn't have any of those thoughts, so, James. They're completely imaginary. They're in your head.
Anyway, I'm so glad to have you back. So much has changed since we last spoke, for the worse, I fear. And I was listening recently to your excellent podcast with Dr. Joseph Mercola, when you didn't pull your punches. And I, by the way, I'm dying to read your new book, which I haven't read yet, The Bodies of Others. It sounds like it's going to be none more bleak, but at the same time, telling it like it is. First of all, can we just talk about another thing that you've been really hot on, which is the Pfizer revelations and the stuff that's emerged about the damage that it does to unborn children, to pregnant mothers. Tell me a bit about that.
Sure. So I hope you can get The Bodies of Others, because Amazon and Waterstones are doing a lot of tricky things to keep people from being able to order it. It's a number
two
bestseller in the United States, everyone try to order it in Britain, please, because you deserve to know what's going on as well as people in America. So you're right that since we last spoke, everything's gotten worse, and they got worse in the directions that you and I predicted they would. Because it was completely easy to see, if you've studied history, where we were going. The book makes the case, and then I'll tell you about the Pfizer documents, but just to update you on my thinking since we last spoke, the book makes the case that a handful of bad actors, including certainly the World Economic Forum, the Chinese Communist Party, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, notoriously, and a bunch of tech companies, exploited the pandemic to remake the world in a way that is more conducive to them, specifically to digital tech companies, and kind of a terraforming human culture and community and civilization to weaken it and dissolve it, so that we would be easier to exploit by digital technologies and by people who want our serfdom, essentially. And so I encourage people to read it, because I worry about Britain all the time. I love Britain. I'm horrified by, you know, you guys are, in some ways worse off there than we are here, because there's been our founders were very wise in creating a system where state by state people could push back against tyranny, even if the federal government was full on in tyrant mode, which ours is. So having said that,
and you've got the Second Amendment as well, which we don't, unfortunately.
Well, thank you. I actually just wrote an essay about the Second Amendment. I thought I would never be a gun-toting person. I thought I hated guns and that I was a, you know, child of hippies and a hippie myself who was all about peace, love, and freedom. But I have bought a .22 and I'm learning to shoot it. And I do now absolutely believe that the only thing that is the difference between us and Australia, which has lost its liberty, and Canada, which has lost its liberty, and Britain and France, which are struggling to retain their liberties, and Italy, which has lost its liberty, Germany, you know, is the Second Amendment. That's literally the only thing between us and the fate of Australia. But to go to your question, James, about the Pfizer documents. So many of you know that a court in the United States decided that the FDA could not conceal the 55,000 internal Pfizer documents for the 75 years that the FDA requested that they be concealed, and the court order forced them to be released. And of course, it's hard for any journalist, let alone a non-scientific, non-medical journalist, to read through such abundant set of documents. So Project began, which is amazing, partly from our outreach on my site, Daily Clout, partly through Steve Bannon's The War Room. And we have now 3,000 researchers who are highly credentialed. They range from physicians and RNs to biostatisticians, lab clinicians, biologists, medical fraud investigators, people who are highly trained to understand these documents. And they've issued 23 reports that any layperson can understand. You can find them on Daily Clout. And the headline is that what's in the Pfizer documents, what is revealed by these volunteers, is completely different from what you read about the vaccines and the side effects in mainstream media across Europe and Britain, as well as across the United States. And what's revealed is a massive crime against humanity, all of humanity, because the documents are global. And what you see is that this was and is a massive experiment in which they didn't stop with thousands and thousands of adverse events, with 1,200 deaths, with 4 people dying on the day they were injected, that they lied. I mean, I can go through bullet point after bullet point about how they lied and all the harms and damages that they concealed, and the harms and damages that these injections do. But the most recent thing I really want to call attention to is that the volunteers have found that babies are dying to vaccinated mothers, and that there's problems with breast milk for women who've been vaccinated. And I can go into more detail about that if you like.
That's shocking. I mean, huge if true. And it sounds like it is true. Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, and again, no one should take my word for it. The primary source citations are right in the reports. The volunteers link to the actual documents, or they cite the page where you can find the actual documents. The actual documents are linked on the Daily Clout Pfizer research volunteers channel, essentially, right on dailyclout.io. You can see for yourself. All right, well, some of the headlines before I get to the babies are: Pfizer knew that the injection didn't stay in the deltoid, even though all the doctors swore that it would, and the paid spokespeople swore that it would. CDC, FDA, your NHS probably swore that it would. Rather, the materials go through the bloodstream in 24 to 48 hours. And these materials are lipid nanoparticles, which are hard, fatty casings that contain the mRNA. They're the mRNA, and they're the spike protein. Also, a substance called polyethylene glycol, a petroleum byproduct, which I'll get to in a minute. So this material goes into your bloodstream if you're vaccinated with these mRNA vaccines, and then it lodges in the liver, the spleen, the adrenals, the lymph nodes, and if you're a woman, in the ovaries. Pfizer knew that the dosages were too high at 100 micrograms. In other words, that's Moderna's first and second dose is 100 micrograms. Pfizer's is 30 if you're an adult, but it's 10 if you're a teenager, and 3 if micrograms if you're 5 to 11. The trouble with that is that many people got the Moderna 100 microgram dose. Everyone who got it got a dose that Pfizer knew was dangerously high. But they didn't stop people and tell people when they found out that there were so many adverse events from that high dose that they dropped it internally. They let people who got the Moderna first dose and second dose go ahead and get the booster. They didn't say slow down or we'll watch you. Another problem with the differential dosing is that it's not titrated to body size or weight. So if you're a 12-year-old 90-pound girl, you're getting the same 10 micrograms as a 200-pound 17-year-old male football player. And if you're an 11-year-old, the last day of your 11th year, you get 3 micrograms. But on your birthday, if you turn 12 and you get a vaccine, mRNA vaccine, it more than triples the dose, even though you're the same size and weight. I bring this up because in my book, I note that teenagers are dropping dead. And as a mother and stepmother, I want to know, you know, if these are small teenagers that are dropping dead because they're getting doses that are not appropriate, you know, and Pfizer knows this. Pfizer knew that the injections damage the leukocytes, which are the immune response. It's part of your blood that mobilizes an immune response. Pfizer knew in May of 2021, that the injections cause heart damage to teenagers. But the EUA was given by our FDA in a month later, nonetheless, and they knew. And it wasn't until August of 2021 that parents were told that the injections cause heart damage to young adults. Pfizer knew it within a month, in December of 2020, that the injections didn't work. They had three categories: vaccine failure, waning in efficacy, and that a side effect of getting injected was COVID. So they knew right away in the mass rollout that their product did not work. But nobody, everyone who lined up, you know, to get these to be fully vaccinated was told, this is it, you'll be 99% protected, now you can go back to your life. We weren't told till April of the next year, when a study came out of Israel, that there was waning efficacy. And again, just in time for the booster campaign. But Pfizer knew right away that the vaccines did not work and didn't tell people. Polyethylene glycol is an allergen. And it's such a severe allergen that, sorry, are you wanting to say something?
No. I'm loving this. You keep going.
Okay. It's such a severe allergen that some people who are allergic to it, it's a well-known allergen, right? Go into anaphylactic shock and can die. Another side effect is that you break out in horrible red welts. Well, you're not supposed to ingest it. It's in things like white strips and antifreeze. It's a petroleum byproduct. Yet, all over social media, people are taking pictures of their red welts that they got after mRNA injections. And they're like, what is this? Of course, doctors are baffled because doctors, at least in the US, have received letters from licensing boards saying they'll lose their licenses if they mention the vaccines. So the point is, Pfizer knew about this horrible side effect. The side effects in the Pfizer documents are completely different from the side effects listed on the CDC website or, you know, in your doctor's, you know, handout, or probably by the NHS, sorry. The CDC says, and all the spokes models say, oh, you might feel tired, you might have some chills or some headache. The side effects in the internal documents, again, 42,000 adverse events in 3 months, 1,200 deaths, as I mentioned. But the side effects listed in the post-marketing experience document, meaning after it was being rolled out and the big, you know, huge propaganda campaign, big marketing campaign, what came in after that, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases of joint pain, like rheumatoid arthritis, which no one's talking about, but I know people whose lives have been changed by healthy people who now are limping. Muscle pain, myalgia, again, not passing. I know two people who have no quality of life because they have muscle pain all the time post-injection. Thousands of neurological diseases, thousands, like Guillain-Barré, Bell's palsy, MS, thousands of clotting events, thrombocytopenia, lung clots, leg clots, thousands of heart attack type events, tachycardia, heart damage of all kinds, stroke, cancers coming roaring back, encephaly. I mean, I just got an email from a woman saying my 15-year-old niece got vaccinated. Now she has encephaly. Can you talk? Like, this is the position we're in now. This is so hidden that even though I'm not a doctor, Amy Kelly, the project manager, is not a doctor, we have these highly credentialed people, including doctors, and they're the only ones, you know, that people can go to. You know, we're getting inquiries saying, what is this? No one's ever heard that you get encephaly after vaccination. Well, we we see it right there. It's, you know, kidney disease, you know, so many instances. And we've got a database of volunteer made, in other words, a volunteer created a searchable way to look for side effects in the Pfizer documents. And so, you know, when someone says liver, you know, we do a search and there's these hundreds of bad outcomes for liver, for kidney, for so many horrific serious illnesses. And so let me go to, oh, here's one. You know that there's a social media meme of athletes collapsing on, you know, football fields.
Yeah.
And just people are like, the word is getting out, people are just collapsing and dying. And I know two people to whom one collapsed and died and one collapsed and had to have brain surgery and is a vegetable. And everyone's, what could this be? Well, the Pfizer documents, the SEC filing of BioNTech, it was so common that the SEC, BioNTech, the subsidiary of Pfizer making the mRNA vaccines, felt they had to disclose it to the SEC. A common side effect is falling so hard you kill yourself, fainting so hard you hurt yourself. That's in the SEC filing. But NIH didn't tell us. HHS didn't tell us, CDC didn't tell us, FDA didn't tell us. So people are collapsing and nobody knows what's going on. Pfizer knew exactly what was going on. Let me go to babies. So in the Pfizer documents, there are many, well, let me move back a step. You were told, and all the women in Britain were told, and all the women in America were told, that the vaccine was safe and effective for pregnant women. And I'm a feminist nonfiction writer, and I follow women's health issues. And I kept saying, how can you say this? There are no studies confirming that this is true. And I was saying it to Apoorva Mandavili of the New York Times, and, you know, the vaccine beat, and she blocked me eventually because she couldn't show me the study that proved that what she was saying was true when she was saying safe and effective for pregnant women. So pregnant women were excluded from all of the internal trials. And so the EUA was based on no pregnant women. However, the claim that it was safe and effective for pregnant women was based on a study of 42 French rats who were followed for 44 days. The mother rats were not even allowed to bring their baby rats to term so that the scientists could see if the babies were okay and the right birth weight and learning normally, growing normally. The fetal rats were autopsied by the scientists. The scientists said, okay, they're fine. And then the injection was declared safe and effective for human women and human babies. The scientists and doctors who ran that study were employees or shareholders of Pfizer and BioNTech. Can I keep going or should I pause?
Yeah. Please do.
All right. So in spite of pregnant women being excluded from the trials, 270 got pregnant anyway. And by law, Pfizer is supposed to follow them and see what happened to them and to their babies, vaccinated women, mRNA. When I say vaccinated, I mean mRNA vaccinated. So of these 270, 234, their records vanished. The category is in the Pfizer documents is no known outcome. They lost them. They dropped them. They did not follow them. Broke every law, right? To lose these 234 pregnant women and their babies. The ones who were not lost, that were followed through till birth. 36 women, of those 36 pregnant women who were vaccinated, 28 lost their babies. The babies died. There's more. In the Pfizer documents related to childbirth and lactation, breastfeeding women were told that it was safe for their babies to be injected And in fact, someone just emailed me today that the pediatrician said that you should get mRNA vaccinated because it helps breastfeeding. These people are just lying or woefully, they're just lying. There's no way around it. Actually, a common side effect of breastfeeding is that your breast milk stops. It starts up again 3 or 4 days later for most women, but who are breastfeeding. But if you have been a breastfeeding woman, you know that by then the baby is on formula, because otherwise the baby would starve. So breastfeeding women were not told it's going to, you know, stop your milk. Of the women whose milk didn't stop, four of them reported after vaccination that they had blue-green breast milk. Should I keep going? Should I just ignore your horrified expression?
I think this is really useful, Naomi. The accumulation of detail, I think, is something that's been missing. You can't find this in the mainstream media.
No.
I know so many people who are oblivious to all this stuff.
Well, James, I mean, this is the biggest story of our time. And I've now been reporting this for almost 4 months, and literally only alternative news sites are covering it. And, you know, and we know why. I mean, in the bodies of others, I point out that the BBC, NPR, The New York Times, The Guardian took Bill and Melinda Gates' money for COVID education and to overcome vaccine hesitance. So they're not at liberty to report these stories, but this is the biggest story of our time. So let me get to the breastfeeding situation. Dr. Harvey Risch, I consulted him about this, and he told me as an informal hypothesis that blue-green breast milk suggests a problem with the blood, the way that if there's a bruise, it changes, you know, the bruise changes color from blue to yellow over time. So that makes sense, because breast milk is built up of blood and lymph, and we know that the lipid nanoparticles and the mRNA and the spike protein are in the mother's blood and in her lymph, right? And we also know that her blood is being harmed by the damage to leukocytes. So the point being, I mentioned polyethylene glycol. An NIH study, a preprint, showed that there is indeed polyethylene glycol, unsurprisingly, in the breast milk of vaccinated mothers. So what this study found is that babies of vaccinated mothers are reporting GI distress, they're inconsolable, they're agitated, and they're sleepless. But then the study concluded, these studies all get their funding from the NIH, so they whitewash it or downplay it. They said, well, it's only a trace amount of polyethylene glycol in vaccinated women's breast milk. Well, what is a trace amount of a petroleum product in your only food if you're a tiny newborn baby? You know, we've never experimented on human newborns by feeding them petroleum, right? And seeing how they do. So there's no way to conclude that it's not harmful. And the evidence is that these babies are distressed. The study stopped after 2 weeks. So there's no evidence that these babies drinking petroleum product in their breast milk are growing normally. There is evidence in the Pfizer documents of one baby of a vaccinated mother who had the same symptoms, that the GI distress, inconsolable, agitated, sleepless, the seizures too. Parents took that baby to the ER, nothing could be done, the baby died. And the baby was found to have an inflamed liver. And I mention this because, again, the materials from the injection lodge in the liver, and we're seeing all these kids with liver, you know, hepatitis, liver harms. So this is a red flag, but this baby died. And I guess I want to say, too, that we're hearing anecdotal reports from around the country of mothers, vaccinated mothers with babies with these symptoms, GI distress, inconsolable, sleepless, agitated. I also note that the FDA is the same agency that colluded in all these harms, that knew about the harms to babies and breast milk. And they closed down Abbott, which is the factory that makes baby formula. So if the breast milk is contaminated and there's no baby formula, I mean, this is why I think we're under, you know, kind of an attack right now in the West. I do know that that Bill Gates, Richard Branson, Mark Zuckerberg, and Jeff Bezos have started a startup called BioMilk with a Q, which produces lab-grown breast milk substitute, lab-grown baby formula substitute. Moving back to the babies. Women who are pregnant were told, go ahead and get this injection, and it can't possibly cross the amniotic barrier. Your baby can't be affected by it. And that was a lie. I mentioned lipid nanoparticles, these hard fatty casings. I personally didn't get vaccinated because I read about lipid nanoparticles in the biotech industry news, and I'm a tech CEO, so I recognize that the excitement about lipid nanoparticles is a this will be a big exit, someone's going to make a lot of money excitement, whereas there was no excitement about it in the medical journals, right? So I was like, okay, I'm not going to experiment with this. That said, lipid nanoparticles are designed to cross human membranes. They were used in the past to bring medicine to brain tumors to cross the blood-brain barrier. However, that's a situation in which you're going to die of a brain tumor if you don't take the risk of injecting lipid nanoparticles. These are lipid nanoparticles being injected in healthy women and reaching healthy fetuses. So the point is, when women were told the mRNA injection can't affect your baby, that was a total lie. They knew from the start that it was designed to cross the blood-brain barrier. So what you have to imagine is, I'm sorry, and therefore to cross the amniotic barrier. Lipid nanoparticles go through every membrane in the human body. So what you've got to visualize is the amniotic sac, the little fetus inside the amniotic sac, and these lipid nanoparticles penetrating the amniotic sac as they're designed to do. These hard, fatty casings penetrating the amniotic sac and entering the environment in which the fetus is trying to grow and gestate and acquire nutrients from the mother. And I just mention this because people are mystified about what I'm about to tell you next, but there are a couple of mechanisms, whether it's the spike protein, whether it's the lipid nanoparticles, or whether it's the polyethylene glycol, that could contribute to what I'm about to say next, which is sadly, there's a baby die-off of vaccinated mothers. So, and this is the last thing I really need to say. A reporter named Etana Hecht had been reporting on the Pfizer Document research volunteers' work. And she also wrote a piece linking these signals about harms to babies and breast milk. She pointed out that in Ontario, a doctor has come forward saying that they had 86 neonatal deaths at a 3-month period where usually they have just 5 or 6. Facebook is trying to fact check that, but they can't fact check it. This is this doctor's testimony. I mean, obviously, more reporting needs to be done, but he hasn't recanted, and Facebook didn't provide the documentation of the neonatal deaths from an official source to fact check it. So this is an eyewitness account that was so persuasive that a parliamentarian brought this up in Parliament. In Scotland, we do have the records, and baby deaths have doubled. Neonatal deaths have doubled. This was reported in the Scotland Herald. The BBC picked it up, although they managed to downplay how high the escalation was in numbers. They just called it a spike, which is the kind of games that the media are playing to avoid reporting on these issues. But they doubled, and Scotland is a highly vaccinated country. And they doubled in 2021 when all, and into 2022 when all the moms got vaccinated, or almost all of them in Scotland. And in Israel, in Rambam Hospital in Haifa, vaccinated mothers have a 34% higher rate of spontaneous abortions, miscarriages, and neonatal deaths than unvaccinated mothers. And there's more, and this is the last thing I'll say. So I guess I just want to say, like, these are preliminary signals, but they're signals. And they're, especially in Scotland, which is very, it's an, I used to live in Scotland. It's a very advanced country with very, complete, coherent medical records. And the deaths of babies have doubled. So now, like, scale that to 190 countries around the world where women were vaccinated, and vaccinated during they were pregnant. Oh, the Pfizer documents define exposure to the vaccination as inhalation, as including inhalation, skin contact, sexual intercourse, especially at the time of conception, and lactation. So shedding was supposed to be a conspiracy theory. I was deplatformed for once of many times for posting a white paper from the FDA on shedding, from the FDA on shedding, but the Pfizer documents define exposure to the vaccine as including sexual intercourse and at the time of conception. So I guess I just want to call your attention now to the most recent report by these volunteers. It posted last night. It's on Daily Clout. I encourage you to put it in your link. They've analyzed the VARS data, which is the database where if there are adverse events, they're recorded. And, you know, the VARS database, it's a government database. But critics point out that it's vastly underreported. But it's, you know, it is a real database of real events. And these volunteers have found that you are, that 57% of all the neonatal deaths of vaccinate, you know, of people who have been vaccinated happened to women who'd been vaccinated with mRNA vaccines. In other words, out of all the vaccines for all the things over all the decades, polio and, you know, hepatitis and, you know, all the things you can be vaccinated for, 57% were just in the last 2 years for the mRNA vaccine. And pardon me, lastly, they found that over 3,000 babies died of vaccinated mothers. 3,100, more than 3,100 babies died to vaccinated mothers.
This is one facet of the biggest scandal in the history of the world. There has never been an abuse of the human race on this global scale. And yet, you see in the Australian newspapers, for example, there are these articles about, and there seems to have been an increase in sudden adult death syndrome, but experts are mystified as to what, and that's as far as the mainstream media is going to get. Now, I know that people are deserting the MSM or the legacy media, and they're moving to alternative websites like the War Room and so on. But is it going to happen quickly enough, or do you think most people are going to remain in ignorance forever and go on? So, for example, Naomi, a relative of mine, one of her best friends lost her 19-year-old son. Her 19-year-old son died. And the friend does not think, it hasn't even occurred to her that it's because of the vaccine. She thinks it's just one of those crazy things that happens. I think there were so many people in this veil of ignorance.
Yeah. I mean, James, you're talking about the essential question of our time, right? Well, two essential questions. Will it happen fast enough that this information gets out? And will people wake up? I guess the first thing I would say is that really kind of depends on us. You know, I've literally been talking myself hoarse every single day just to communicate, because I recognize that the people in my culture who should be covering this material are the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal, and it's crickets from them. So it's literally me talking to you and people like you all day long to try to get the word out. And it is a race against time. And so I guess what I'm saying to everyone listening is we're in a race against time. You know, the BBC is not going to do it. They took $55 million from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The Guardian isn't going to do it. They took money for, you know, COVID education and vaccine confidence. The Daily Mail, you know, I sent this to them right before I called you. They've run my work for years. They've interviewed me for years and covered my books for years. They did a hit piece on me when I was deplatformed for vaccine misinformation, all of which turns out to be true. But I sent this to them and I said, you know, you need to cover this. I don't believe they will. I think the mainstream media, you know, part of the methodology of the last 2 years was to buy up and bribe every civil society institution in the West in order to kill the West. Like, that's the conclusion I've come to looking at these arms. It's a war on us. I haven't even told you about the links I found, James, between BioNTech and the CCP. Pfizer is not a German company. It's a German-Chinese company. And BioNTech, this, you know, nice little family-owned subsidiary they raced to buy in January of 2020, it's got a memorandum of understanding with a CCP-owned, well, all of them are owned, you know, Chinese companies, pharmaceutical company called Fosun Pharmaceuticals. And the SEC filing shows that at the end of 2021, one of their benchmarks was the 100% tech transfer of BioNTech's tech to China. It doesn't say to an individual in China, to an investor in China. It doesn't say to a company in China. It says to China. So that means China owns this tech, however tech is defined. Maybe it's the lipid nanoparticle. Maybe it's the mRNA. China owns it now. So when people are getting injected now, it's our adversary that is the owner of this technology, right? So I say this because looking at the Pfizer documents, and especially in my country that the military was mandated, and in Germany the military is mandated, maybe in your country the military is mandated. This is a war on the West. It's a war on the West. And they knew that people would die. They knew that babies would be harmed. So I guess to end this riff, I would say that it's literally up to you and me and, you know, 200 independent news sites and podcasters, but it's also up to everyone listening, because people have been absolute, pardon me, I'm just going to say it, people have been absolute pussies in this pandemic. And I'm a famous feminist, so I get to use that word. And I know the gender politics around it, using it as a pejorative, but there's no other word for it. They've been absolute cowards, because people have been like, oh, I agree with you, or I would say something, but my boss will get mad, or my friends will get mad, or, you know, I'll be kicked out of my bridge club. People, you know, everyone listening to this, it's, you need to step up, and you need to be willing to be that unpopular person that your friends and relatives say, don't talk to me about that, to tell people about this. And if you need the primary source documentation, it's all on Daily Clout. The issue of the babies is on my latest Substack, or one before my latest. I'm sorry to announce a genocide is the title. And it, so people just have to inform each other, like low tech, like Tom Paine, common sense, you know, because the BBC is not going to save us. And the Guardian is not going to save us. When it comes to people kind of snapping out of their, you know, what's become, it's been called a mass formation psychosis, but I know what you mean. Like, you know, oh, people are dropping dead. Children are dropping dead. It can't possibly have to do with the vaccine. What else has changed? Like literally nothing has changed. And now there are posters in, you know, in New York on like, you know, bus kiosks and so on about how to recognize a stroke. And it shows a young person, you know, 2 years ago, young people didn't have strokes or brain hemorrhages or lung clots or blood clots. So I guess what I would say is, from knowing my loved ones and my friends on the left, especially who watch, you know, CNBC and MSNBC and CNN and read the New York Times, they are truly brainwashed and in a cult. And as a result, I'm not very hopeful that people in that world will wake up, no matter how much information you give them, because they dismiss it. They'll say, oh, he's crazy, she's crazy, these are not real scientists, or, you know, they'll find a way to dismiss it, even though they are real scientists and they are real doctors and nurses. But I do think that when a culture, I mean, nonetheless, we have to keep feeding out the information, right? Because when enough people in a culture are exposed to the information, the cracks start to form, and even, and it's like melting, right? So even the deepest, look what happened in Germany and Nazis, right? Like, yeah, that was a shock. They had to be defeated by world powers, but people kind of, you know, woke up eventually. So I guess I'm hopeful that it can happen, but it won't happen soon, that these brainwashed people will say, oh God, you know, my child died. That shouldn't have happened. And also think about the guilt, right? Like, these are people who injected their own kids. So imagine you would go to all lengths to deny that you had anything to do with your child's death.
Yeah. It's really sad that one of the cunning ways in which the people responsible for this horror operate is that it would have been great if, you know, you, Naomi Wolf, I would have thought, you know, if I'd been envisaging this scenario 10 years ago, I'd have thought, well, it's cool. We've got Naomi Wolf to deal with all the kind of the left and the feminists and all that. You know, she's got them, and they'll see her as a credible figure, and they'll listen to her, because, you know, she's a serious person. And they might, I don't believe in left and right left anymore, by the way. I think that they've been rendered meaningless from our by our times. But in the same way, I would have thought there were so many. I would have been batting for the right, and I would have persuaded all my kind of righty people that actually, you know, this is not this this is not this is against everything you believe, and this is about, you know, big government, you know, abusing your bodily autonomy and all sorts of other vested interests. But no, they very, very cleverly marginalize us. I mean, the journey you've been on from your beauty myth period, when you were the darling of The Guardian and stuff, to now, when you're repeatedly vilified, aren't you, on the BBC? Yeah, you, what could do you
I don't
remember the
follow,
turning
like,
point
I
when it
don't
happened?
know how bought off they were. So if I am, I'm not aware of it. But go ahead, I'm not surprised.
No, but do you remember what do you remember the transitional moment when you turned from kind of credible figure, beloved of the left-wing liberal media, to kind of crazy, cranky hate figure?
Hate figure of
Well,
hate.
you know, well, you know what I mean.
I do.
where
Yeah.
you were rendered voiceless by propaganda against you, was the
Right.
returning point.
Yeah. Well, I a couple of things. Well, I'm not voiceless, right? I mean, all this deplatforming has given me a larger platform than I've ever had. Number two on Barnes and Noble. So they can
That's
try to
cool.
silence me all they like, vilify me all they like. People who follow me know that I'm as credible as I ever was, if not more so. So I guess what I would say there is that I agree with you that these cultural kind of bastions have become meaningless. I think people don't trust them anymore. And so I just want to note that. That said, especially in Britain, I do worry about Britain because Britain is like a bell jar, right? And it's enclosed with propaganda, and it's hard. I mean, even algorithms keep alternative information from getting through very well. So
Yeah.
it may well be that I have been effectively smeared in Britain. I guess what I would say is I'm very sorry. I'm embarrassed about my colleagues. Like they're, you know, The Guardian. I used to have a column at The Guardian, Sunday Times of London. I used to write, you know, every month for them. All these publications, I've published in them for 35 years, and I haven't changed. But I'm embarrassed that journalists or editors of those publications are not acting like journalists and editors, and not, you know, for the most part, they don't even call me for comment when there's a hit piece or an attack that's inaccurate. And I'm embarrassed that none of them kind of checked, you know, primary sourcing to see if the thing that I was posting on Twitter that got me deplatformed was accurate or not, which it is. I mean, I got attacked the first time around for pointing out that women were reporting menstrual dysregulation. And oh,
Yeah.
crazy conspiracy theorist. Well, the NIH confirms that women who are vaccinated are averaging one extra day of bleeding a month, averaging. That means some are having more. Half of them are having more. So I was right, you know, like I was deplatformed for raising the issue of the spike protein in the waterways and in our food system. Well, I was right. There are internal studies that are saying, oh my God, the spike protein is going to go into the food system and into the waterways. You know, I was mocked for, well, a lot of things were taken out of context, but basically, I'm embarrassed that journalists and editors I've worked with for 35 years, have been so easily propagandized or cowed themselves. And have just fallen in line. And this is a great shame. Like they're complicit. And I think some of them, honestly, I don't know what the crime is. And I try to never criminalize speech or, you know, journalism, but to support a genocide, you know, what's turning out to be a mass murder event, by telling lies and taking money to tell lies. That's what the BBC did, is doing. That's what The Guardian is doing, especially now that this reporting is coming out and they're not covering it. And if they, you know, if they keep saying safe and effective, they are engaging in coercion or racketeering or fraud or some of the other civil offenses that our lawyers are identifying. But they're also engaging in super bad journalism. So I'm embarrassed for them. But the moment, okay. Remember my book, Outrages, which the BBC attacked and attacked and attacked
I
and
thought
attacked?
so. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I just want to, note that on reflection, there's a chapter in Outrages, and it came out in 2019, and it was there's massive global attack for two mistakes I did make. And but usually when you make two mistakes, you issue an update or an erratum slip, never a global attack. And then Houghton Mifflin said to libraries, not just, don't stock it, but pulp it, like pulp it,
Right.
destroy it. Never happened before. Well, one of the chapters in Outrages is about the waves of infectious diseases in the 1840s in Britain, typhus and cholera, and how thousands and thousands of people died from infectious diseases, those infectious diseases, and no one knew what was causing them. And as a result of the state figuring out and helping to deal with what was causing them, which was tainted water in the case of cholera, the state was able to create a discourse in which everybody's privacy could be invaded, everyone's bodies could be managed. It preceded the first and second mass vaccination campaign, laws coercing vaccination, and it preceded the first anti-mandated vaccination movement in, in the 1860s to the 1880s. And I pointed out that through this discourse of this, it's the state's job to manage infectious diseases, the state was able to strip Britain of its traditional liberties and privacy, and British citizens of privacy, and to and that that was a precedent for managing and intruding on their bodies more and more and more. And I use the example of what happened with, believe it or not, like anal scrutiny of men accused of sodomy in the 1870s and 1880s. Well, I just think it's really notable that that foreshadowing of exactly what happened in 2020 to 2022 was part of this book that was so vilified, and this author who was, must be so not credible that you had to like wipe her reputation off the face of the earth. And we do know now from like Event 201 that an internal Chinese Communist Party documents that this pandemic narrative was prepared for, right? This was not, it didn't just happen. We know that now. Is that a conspiracy theory? No, I thought it was till I looked at the the documentation of Event 201, and they really were running germ games, just like they're running them now, for the future. So I guess the second thing I would say is the mass deplatforming a year ago, and that kind of switch from still being, because I was still a darling of the left, even if I was a, attacked darling of the left by this time last year. But when I, it was when I began writing critically about Bill Gates's investment in the vaccines and in the vaccine passports, and it's when I began writing, just doing normal reporting, asking questions like, what's in this? And as I mentioned, what's the evidence that it's safe and effective for pregnant women? At the point I started raising questions, which is what journalists do, right? Then there was this massive pile on and a smear campaign, which was another one, which was kind of weird to watch. And I have a couple of very good lawyers working on suing Twitter and Facebook. It was weird to watch because some of the tweets that were taken out of context, but also provided to journalists to attack me when I was deplatformed in spring of last year, again, only Twitter would have had, because I literally made a tweet, looked at it for 4 seconds and thought, that is badly phrased, and deleted it. But they kept it, right? So who has it? Only Twitter. So we'll find out in discovery what lengths they went to discredit me if they pitched this story, which was an identical story to many news outlets, themselves. But now we know, in the bodies of others, we know why Twitter and Facebook and Google and Microsoft and Bill Gates were trying to silence voices like mine and yours and Dr. Malone's. It's because they're benefiting from this. They're invested in it on both ends, and they're benefiting from a world in which people are locked down and driven to do all their human commerce and civilization on digital platforms. And I explain that further in the bodies of others.
So we've dealt with all the jolly stuff now, all the cheerful stuff. Now let's get really depressing. I mean, you're calling it a genocide. I think you're right. But who is, I mean, is it just the Chinese Communist Party? Is it, I mean, what's going on?
Well, this is what's so frustrating, James, about having a journalistic establishment that is wholly bought. This is the very, this should be under normal journalistic circumstances. This is the very beginning of the story, right? Who indeed? It's like we've walked into a crime scene, there are bodies strewn all over the floor, but we don't know who did it. I will tell you, it is impossible for me to look at the Pfizer documents and the reports, especially that show so many deaths and maiming, right, on such a massive scale. And to know that the FDA got all these documents, and this is over the course of 14 months, and they're still going on, right? They're still trying to issue an emergency use authorization for 0 to 5 year olds, right? There's no way to explain that in normal political terms. In other words, there's so much. Under normal circumstances, so much political capital would be burnt up by a government agency colluding to hide hundreds, thousands of deaths, right? It wouldn't happen. So, where I'm going with this is, to me, as a former political consultant to a president and a vice president, that says that this White House is captured, because they would have to know. And it wasn't just like, you could imagine a rollout of the vaccine, some deaths, some maiming. A month later, it's suspended, but it's 14 months later and it's ongoing. So this is not normal politics. And so I do believe that the CCP, owns this administration and that war is being waged on us and on the West generally. I don't know that you're going to see these harms worldwide. I don't know that. I don't know that there's no way to know, right? It's interesting. Pfizer redacted the total number of doses that were given. But it does look like specifically a war on the West. I mean, the catastrophic outcomes are in the West. But again, we haven't done the analysis to see if that's, if I'm only, if I'm misreading that because of the reporting that's being done in the West and if as many people are, collapsing worldwide. But I guess I would say I believe that the World Economic Forum, has said that they don't want America to be a super, the world's superpower. And the Great Reset, which I didn't used to believe until I read Klaus Schwab's book, is pretty clear that it's a war on Western freedoms and Western values. And I also have a chapter in my book about, the global technocrats whom I know. Like I used to be one of them. I was friends with them. I went to their dinner parties and so on. And I guess I would say that if Davos is faced with an unsustainable planet and the desire to crush the West, in terms of its values and history, and specifically the desire to kill off America, I can see not a single person or a group of people sitting in a room saying, let's let these disastrous vaccines take care of all of that. But I could see a gold rush for the contracts, billions in contracts represented by rolling out these vaccines so quickly in January of 2020. I can see insiders knowing how dangerous they are. There's no way not to know how dangerous they are if you know anything about lipid nanoparticles. And I can see a kind of laissez-faire attitude, where a lot of birds are being killed with one stone, which is really how bad things happen in politics at the highest levels.
Yes, except I wonder about whether it's just the war on the West, because, for example, you've got what's happening in Sri Lanka right now, what's happening in southern Madagascar, people are suffering food shortages, and there seems to be a war on the human.
Correct. You're right. There is. It's true.
It's in other words, it's not just okay. So you've got America, you've got Canada's been hit hard. I think you're probably right that Canada, New Zealand, Australia are kind of dry runs for what they intend to impose on us, in America and the UK, etc., if they possibly can. But it seems to me to be a sort of reflection of the Malthusian tendencies of the, I mean, a lot of big tech people, a lot of super rich people seem to be dyed-in-the-wool Malthusians. They think that the planet has exceeded its carrying capacity. They want to, the Georgia Guidestones are their watchword, where they want the planet to be reduced to what, 500 million people, whereas we're considerably more than that at the moment.
Is that a question?
Well, I was just inviting you to agree or disagree with me that it's not just the vaccines. I mean, the vaccines seem to be one small part of a much bigger thing. This is a global totalitarian takeover, and I don't think it's even explicable purely in terms of the CCP. I think that this goes well. I think you mentioned it in that podcast with Dr. Mercola, that. Am I not right in thinking that you've become more religious? You've tried to
I
go to a
have
synagogue
become more,
more,
yes, and also
and
more out
they've
with
rejected you.
my. Sorry? What was that?
Didn't you mention that your synagogue has turned you away for wrong think or something?
Yes, well, yes. But that, yeah, but I have become, I think I know where you're going. I have become more comfortable publicly saying that I can't understand the scale of this evil and its sophistication without resorting to concluding that, it's a war against humanity on a material and a political plane. And you're going to love my book, by the way, because that's exactly the conclusion I come to, that it is a war on the human race to create a kind of post-humane reality. But that the sophistication and scale and the kind of unison-like quality of it really can only be explained also by understanding it as a spiritual battle, a war against good and evil. And I didn't used to think Satan kind of existed, and as a Jewish person, we don't have a very developed theology of Satan or hell, but I think there's really no other way, at least in Western discourse, to explain what the enemy is, on a metaphysical level. Not that we should abandon the political and the material, but what's being attacked? Mother's milk, babies, family, love, worship, churches and synagogues, in-person education, dancing, singing, kindness, inclusion, all the things that make us human and all the things that bring us closer to God or that manifest the divine. The human body is being attacked. Human faces made in the image of God are being covered up. These are very occult, metaphysical targets, in addition to being material and political targets.
I think you've phrased it very beautifully. I mean, I think this too. I've come much closer to God. I'm very into the Psalms, which I'm sure you're very familiar with too.
Not as
And
as I should be, but I should read
I
them all the time.
check out the Psalms. They're really good. Check out Psalm 91. That's a really good one. It sort of gives you a sort of sense of, God's got this one. It enjoins you
Not
not to
fast
be
enough,
afraid.
if I may say,
It's what, sorry?
Not fast enough. I hope
Yeah,
God's got
well.
this one, but I'd like him to move a little faster.
But I think we're in agreement that what's going on now is so horrific, such a kind of negation of everything that we instinctively know to be good and true and right. You know, that God is truth, God is beauty. God made us in his own image. He loves us above all. And you've got this force on this earth, and I think, you know, it has many manifestations: the World Economic Forum, the CCP, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Committee of 300, all these kind of shadowy groups of the elites, or I call them the predator class, who
The
I think
predator class, is that what you call them?
in many cases, these people have a very unhealthy attraction to the satanic. They participate in satanic rites. I mean,
What,
we needn't
consciously?
go into.
Like, I'm not aware of that. Consciously?
Well, this is isn't this one of the glorious things, Naomi, about how we've all come together, disparate people. I mean, you know, I mentioned this the last podcast we did. I never imagined that I would bond with Naomi Wolf, that she would become one of my comrades in arms and one of my heroines. If you'd told me
Thank
that
you.
10 years ago, I'd have said you were insane. And it's we all have different bits of expertise to bring to the party. I mean, you've got the kind of analytical mind which has gone through the you've got analytical mind, and you're a fixer, you're a go-getter. The fact that you're a tech CEO tells me that you make things happen. So you've got this, you've crowdsourced this information on, you know, analysis of the FISA documents. You've done this. I don't have the mental aptitude for that. I've got a very flibbertigibbet mind. I like flitting over the place. I'm a dilettante, but I have a different skill set, and I've been going down lots of different rabbit holes. And I can tell you, if you don't know, I mean, a whole world of underground hideousness out there. If you only knew the kind of practices that happen in Hollywood, in the entertainment industry. Yeah, these people are on the dark side. They really are. So what they're doing does not surprise me, because it is an inversion, and a deliberate inversion of all the good things we as kind of God-fearing folk believe in.
Yeah.
The other party, the dark side, reject all that and rejoice in rejecting all that. It is part of their sacrament. Their sacraments include child sacrifice. I mean, that's the deal, you know. So it's of a piece with their philosophy that babies should be dying now as a result of these vac. I don't know whether the vaccines were deliberately created as a genocidal development, you know, kill shot, or whether it was just a happy byproduct. But the intention is there. These people are malign.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear that. I don't know what to say. I mean, I guess the reason I'm sorry to hear it is that I can certainly believe that many people have weird negative practices. But what's really scary is that they seem to be working, right? That, it's one thing to kind of invoke Baal, but then Baal shows up, and that's where we're at right now. So I don't know how to fight that except, I mean, literally, except through prayer. And I would never, proselytize. I think these things are very private, but I don't know, and I've said this in my essays, I don't know how humanity gets out of this by ourselves. It's too big for us.
Look, I don't think you should be embarrassed about prayer. I mean, look, people can take or leave it. People can either believe in God or not. I'm absolutely convinced that there is a God, and that he's got our back. And I mean, I don't know enough about Jewish theology. I know we've got lots in common from and so on. But in Christian theology, we are current. The world is the realm of the devil. In return for free will, what we get is we get the we live on in a world where we are constantly tempted by Satan, by the forces of darkness, and this is part of the deal. And the dark side is very seductive. The dark side is sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and, you know, all sorts of cool things that are kind of fun, especially when you're younger. And it's up to us to decide, do we want to choose this stuff, or do we want to go with the good side? And the
Right.
good side requires kind of a degree of self-abnegation, of self-denial. But ultimately, the good God is the right choice, I think. You know, God ultimately wins. But in the meantime, there's a whole heap of trouble caused by all those people who want to choose the dark path,
so,
which I think includes most of our political class.
I guess so. I mean, I as I said, I thoroughly believe that there's, you know, ranks and ranks of people who, you know, embrace the darkness consciously, but that doesn't excuse, like, my ire is not even reserved for them. Like, they're just lost. My ire is really, it doesn't excuse our friends, you know, who went to good universities. It doesn't excuse doctors who know they're lying. It doesn't excuse journalists who know that they're, you know, taking down press releases from untruth tellers. It doesn't excuse, you know, just all the rank and file. It doesn't excuse parents who, you know, would rather sacrifice their children's well-being to a questionable injection than, you know, be left out of the play dates or, you know, kept off the PTA. I mean, we're seeing collusion at such a massive level. How do we forgive our friends and our loved ones, you know, for embracing nonsense?
You were at Oxford for a period, weren't you? When were you there?
I was there as a Rhodes Scholar in the 80s, like 85 to 88. And then I went back as a middle-aged student for my DPhil in about 2010 to 2015.
That's funny, because we would have overlapped then. There must have been occasions when we wandered past one another up Turl Street or, I don't know, in the High or what college were you at?
I was at New College.
Okay. Look, pretty nice. Well, so do you remember how it felt? We thought we were the smartest guys in the room. I mean, I looked, not myself necessarily, but I looked around and thought, these are the smartest people I've ever been with. It was just the most intellectually stimulating period of my life, because nobody was stupid. Everyone was cleverer than me, and it was great. And now these people, these are some of the people who are colluding to, well, I mean, colluding in genocide, as you say, that they are part of the problem, that they are participating in evil. So I no longer have any admiration or respect for their intellects, because their intellects are being dedicated to a cause which I consider monstrous, satanic.
Yeah. You're right. What can I say? You're absolutely right. I mean, one of the things that's going to have to come out of this is the rebuilding of all of our institutions, including the universities. They've prost, you know, Oxford has prostituted itself in many ways. I hope that the core of the university that I love so much is still there. I've not been able to bring myself to come back to Britain since this all began. I'm not sure I'd be allowed in. I don't know what the laws are, but, you know, AstraZeneca came out of Oxford, and in The Bodies of Others, I talk about how the Blavatnik School of Governance underwrote one of the most misleading studies in favor of lockdowns that turned out not to be true. And this massive, and Imperial College, like, all your institutions are corrupted. They just took Gates' money, the Wellcome Institute, and sold their souls and corrupted medicine, corrupted science, corrupted free inquiry. Tragic. I mean, I hope the Oxford I love is still somewhere, because we're going to literally need to build out again, like, after the Dark Ages, after all this is over. And James, I'm so sorry. I have to take a break before my next thing.
You've got to go. Naomi, it's been an absolute joy talking to you. And just tell us the name of your book again, where we can get it.
Sure. Well, I'll be sure that you get a copy, because I very much want you to read it and talk about it of everyone. I believe you'll understand the implications among the most of everyone. That was a poorly grammatically constructed sentence. But you can get it, I think, on Amazon. I think you can order it from Waterston's. I know there are hurdles. I hope Blackwell's will stock it, my favorite bookstore. And
they will now.
I hope so. Yeah, yeah. And you can find it at allseasonspress.com. You can order it from dailycloud.io. And again, you can find all of the volunteers' reports on dailycloud.io. So please, everyone, spread the word. And I do believe we can save our humanity if we join together. So thank you for the opportunity, James, to talk about these things.
Thanks, Naomi. And everyone, if you've enjoyed this podcast, do please consider supporting me on Subscribestar, on Patreon, on Locals, and on Substack. Thanks very much, Naomi. I really enjoyed this. And let's do another one, you know, if you're still around in a year's time.
Absolutely. Yes, please. Thank you.
Great. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.